And we welcome in the very first guest of today's show. He comes to us every single week from the Chronicle-Telegram on our local beat, the one and only Dave O'Brien. Dave, how are you, my friend?
Good. Doing well today, Bill. Bull. That's, sorry, I almost called you Bill.
I've been called Bill before. Don't worry. I've been called a heck of a lot worse than Bill. That's perfectly okay. Perfectly fine. Dave's appearances, of course, are brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Make sure you stop by, see the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers. Jim, Bob, all the fine faces that you will see at Vandermark Jewelers will make it a very fun jewelry buying experience for you. Stop by and see them on Broad Street, right across from the hospital here in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Stop by and you'll see why. Wait, you have been really busy over the course of the last few days here, my friend, and I want to begin with some of the stories I think that certainly have been extraordinarily positive. A new Elyria Catholic president is now being sought after because, well, she's not really the old Elyria Catholic president just yet, but Amy Butler is stepping down. What will she be doing now exactly, and how far along are they in the process to find her replacement?
Well, for right now, she's been promoted, and by the end of the month will be the new associate superintendent of secondary schools for the Diocese of Cleveland. So that's a great jump up, and she takes over from Frank O'Lynn, who was promoted in March to the overall superintendent of schools. Dr. O'Lynn and Ms. Butler have been long term colleagues, and he used to run St. Ed's, and now he's kind of the big boss. But she stepped into this role after he left, and so her last graduation at Elyria Catholic was the other night, and she said it was bittersweet, and we had a real nice conversation last night regarding the change, and she's been around at the school in various roles since 1989.
This is a pretty vast. I mean, she's got a big area of schools, right? Is that
everything within the Diocese of Cleveland? Yeah, all the secondary schools, which I think is plus the five that are actually in. You'll have to forgive me.
I'd imagine there's quite a few, especially with St. Ed's and St. Ignatius and all.
And Elyria Catholic Central, Cleveland Central Catholic, Holy Name, Lake Catholic High, Villa Angeles, St. Joseph.
Wow.
Those are the diocesan high schools.
Okay.
So then you also have 15 other independently owned religious high schools like St. Ed's, St. Ignatius, and Magnificat in Rocky River.
Wow.
So she'll oversee a lot of the leadership amongst those, and they have a different setup than like public schools do, where the president is in charge of you know fundraising and community development and partnerships, and saying going over to to Acme Corporation and saying, hey, will you buy us a 3D printer and install it, and then have students come in and kind of do their thing and teach them how to use it, and developing that partnerships and working with the alumni and that kind of thing, and then the principal, which Amy has also been in the past, is more concerned with the academics, day-to-day operations, faculty, staff, student engagement, that kind of thing. So she's had both those roles. Now she will work with the presidents and principals of the other schools that are under the, even if not controlled by the diocese, under the umbrella of the diocese. So it's a step up.
Big time.
She was very, very gracious and very thankful to the community and basically said, this is something that I hadn't really considered doing. And then all of a sudden the chance came up, and here we are.
You mentioned it was a lot of fun for you to write this story, and she's got a really cool story. I believe she got into this back in 1989, as you mentioned. She's also a cancer survivor, too.
Yes.
So she's got a really interesting story. But why was this so fun for you to put this story together?
Well, sometimes you tell somebody, and I told her this on the phone, and it's a little inside baseball for some people, but sometimes you tell somebody, hey, can I have 5-10 minutes of your time? Well, I think we were on a phone for like the better part of an hour, just talking about it, and found out we had some things in common, and it was just a really nice, it was a very, when you can just kind of talk to people, it's a very easy interview. And I have a very conversational style. Again, that's a little inside baseball for everybody, but it was just a really nice interview. And it's a happy story. This is a promotion. Somebody's going to come in and fill that role, and she'll still be around, and she still has oversight of Elyria Catholic, and still knows the families and the alums and everybody who's involved. So I think it's really nice to see somebody who was born in Oberlin, one of seven kids, comes to Elyria, goes to Elyria Catholic, jumps around the country a little bit, you know, after going to Kent State, comes back, goes to Ashland, gets a master's, teaches, coaches, you know, is an administrator of all kinds for the better part of 30 years. You know, so that's a real nice, you know, kind of homegrown, everybody knows you kind of story. And it was a lot of fun to write.
Very good stuff. Again, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And you and Scott Mahoney have been very, very busy tag teaming the efforts, reporting on the whole Gibson's versus Oberlin College case. And, you know, we're expecting the closing arguments today if we have not seen those already. But what are the expectations with these closing arguments? And boy, how soon can we see some movement here over the next couple of days?
Well, we had the closing arguments this morning, and Scott Mahoney, my colleague, showed up early, and there were people sitting on the floor, people kind of waiting in line to get into the courtroom. Deputies had to clear portions of the courtroom because they just didn't have seats. It's a smaller courtroom, and you can't have people sitting in the aisles, unfortunately. So squeezed in as many people as they could, and then the rest were kind of left to stand outside. Jury instructions were going on as of some minutes ago. I know Scott was back on his way over to the courthouse to find out if anything had happened, if the jury had gotten, you know, the breadth of their instructions and then gone off to deliberate. So there are 10 people who were chosen as jurors. There will be two alternates, so 8 people will decide this. It's not your typical 12-person jury. So we'll see what happens. I wish I had a crystal ball and to tell you, because it would make a great headline. But unfortunately, I spent some time hearing both sides in the courtroom. And I very honestly just don't have a prediction on this one.
Fair enough. You know, a lot of people wish that I wouldn't make predictions because I'm constantly wrong on my predictions. So if you're not totally confident one way or the other, stepping back and just letting it play out is probably the best possible scenario. Want to transition into a story I know you were really busy with a couple of days ago that's certainly drawn a heck of a lot of heat, with the plan to return a passenger rail service back to downtown Elyria. Boy, it really kind of seems like Mayor Brenda, city council members are all for it, but having a hard time getting on the same page with the county commissioners as well. And does it seem like resolution is even kind of sort of a possibility here?
I think the city thinks so. The city would really like the county just to be in the same room, I think. And Commissioner Lundy, when I spoke with him the other night, he said, well, yeah, I was in the same room with Mayor Brendan, and we talked about this, this whole project, you know, within the past year, you know, 9 months to a year. Neither one remembered the exact date, you know, but they've been in the same room together. They just haven't been in the same room with the Ohio Rail Development Commission, with Amtrak, with Norfolk Southern, with any planning and development people from the city or from the county, with an assistant county prosecutor or Mr. Will, you know, Prosecutor Will. Nobody has been around a big table and said, okay, let's work this out. Let's find out what the roadblocks are. Let's find out how we can fix that. The city says it has ways to get around the concerns of the county. The county says there's no way to get around it. We've tried. We're just going to reply to your law director or to the mayor's emails and letters, with more letters and emails back and forth for some months. I'm not entirely blaming the county. I'm not putting any blame on anybody. I'm just saying what I know from the documents that I have, from talking to the people that I've talked to. Basically the project is bring passenger rail back to downtown Elyria. Now there is that small stop out there off of East River. Off of East Bridge. East Bridge. And the trains don't run all the time. It's difficult. You know, you end up sitting out there. There's not a lot of shelter. Why not use the Lorain County Transportation and Community Center for what it was rehabilitated for? Why not let people go in, use the restrooms? The county doesn't want to do that. It's going to cost too much money to allow people to use the restrooms. We have to have somebody there staff it. If Greyhound or if the Amtrak wants to sell tickets, we have to have somebody there watching over that. We have to have a security officer. This is going to cost way too much money. The city has offered alternatives, saying you could put an outside door to one of the interior bathrooms on for about $5,000. That's the cheapest alternative that the mayor has offered. There are 3 others that they have offered. The county still you know, was not interested in they said that, I think County Administrator Jim Cortez said at one point it would cost them $160,000 to do anything, to put restrooms in there. But even Commissioner Lundy, the mayor, everybody else says restrooms are not the issue. It's insurance and indemnification. The railroad wants no liability, and the county and the city don't want to say, well, we don't want to be liable for everything. Also, you know, in the unlikely event that there is a derailment or some sort of tragic crash or somebody jumps in front of the tracks or a car gets on the tracks or something like that. So there are insurance and liability issues. In talking with Elyria Law Director Scott Sarazen, he said there's ways around this. The Ohio Rail Development Commission can give you ways around this. Toledo and Sandusky both have done rail projects recently that have gotten around this issue of who's liable when something happens. Again, God forbid. It's a big mess. I think we're just kind of in the middle of this, and we'll see if they all want to sit down together and hash it out, and if they come out and say we still can't do it, we'll report on that too. But that's basically the status of where we are now.
Very interesting. Well, certainly fascinated to see where this ends up and how quickly things can develop. Dave, you are on your way out to New Orleans. Let's just hope that you don't end up on the New Orleans police scan as you're on a vacation, a very well-deserved one over the next few days, my friend. As always, we appreciate the time. Have a great time down there, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.